It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Joining us this hour, he's been a regular guest on this program for about 10 years, I'd say at least. Neurologist and sleep disorder specialist Dr. Eric Dyken joins us to discuss a variety of matters and your sleep-related questions. Dr. Dyken, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Ben. Great to be here.
And I have to picture you. Normally, this is our first post-COVID pandemic or during the pandemic radio discussion. I'm picturing you in your, as you always come into our studios with your white lab coat. I'll just keep that picture in my mind throughout the hour, and I'd like to have our listeners keep this number in mind with your sleep-related questions, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. You could also email us river2river@iowapublicradio.org. A little later in the hour, Dr. Dyken will help us remember a pioneer in the field of sleep medicine, so much so that he's called the father of sleep medicine. He died last month in June, Dr. William Dement. We'll ask Dr. Dyken about him. Dr. Dyken worked very closely with him during his career. We'll find out about him. But first of all, we want to talk a little bit about how COVID, the COVID pandemic, all the anxiety surrounding the COVID pandemic, how that has impacted our sleep. We'd like to have you join us with your story about how it's impacted, perhaps in the past, perhaps currently, impacting your sleep. 1-866-780-9100. Dr. Dyken, tell us, broadly speaking, how this pandemic has been impacting sleep in terms that you've been able to measure and hear about in your position.
Yeah, and a lot of it's common sense, and people really be able to understand it. So when something bad happens in medically, the researchers and the dream and the sleep researchers have been all over this. So there are two big sleep disorders that they've been doing a lot of studying on. Insomnia, which is really related to pandemic anxiety first, and then a disruption of normal circadian 24-hour rhythms. People aren't getting up early to go to work oftentimes. They're often working like I do, remotely. And the second is coronavirus pandemic-related dreams and nightmares, and another thing that seems common sense. But the anxiety, the insomnia, we know that when someone is worried, the get up and go, the sympathetic nervous system, your adrenaline is up. It's really hard to go to sleep when you're anxious and your adrenaline is up. And as such, it makes sense. A lot of anxious people, they're worried, a lot of insomnia out there. And then many of us, I work remotely now, I try to get up at the usual early time, but they often are sleeping later, getting less light exposure. The Zeitgeber, the effects of the sun on keeping a normal awake during the day and then asleep during the dark of the night, it's getting a little messed up because people aren't getting out like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It is the dreams. Oftentimes when we see something horrific, like someone who was battling in Afghanistan, they get the post-traumatic stress disorder. They relive the battle. They see what they've seen on the field. People often have dreams or nightmares associated either with getting the coronavirus or dying from it. And there are a series of people, at least five groups, major groups, that have looked at 600 to about 1,000 different patients with different kind of dreams, nightmare-related issues. And all these things can be addressed in some way, though.
Mm-hmm. And also just a lack of sleep in there as well, because so many of us are working from home. The children are not at school. Of course, it is summertime, but a lot of the summertime, regular summertime activities, not there for the children as well. So you have a busier household. You're trying to get your work done, perhaps from an adjacent room in your household, and then juggle parenting as well. So that's difficult, and the stress of perhaps being unemployed as well. I wonder, Dr. Dyken, if you can share with us perhaps a a specific dream or nightmare that you have heard about, or perhaps firsthand or secondhand from your colleagues in the sleep disorders area, that really speaks to the anxiety that this COVID pandemic is churning up?
Well, you know, and I can relate to it, empathize to it. The big dreams are if you think you're going to get it or you're dying from it. And I watched my wife with this. I was sure she was dead. 7 days. 7 days she was febrile at 102 and above, could not get out of bed, could not eat. And late at night, I heard her stop breathing. I had to poke her. And she didn't like that too much.
This, well, just to be clear, just to be well, this to be this was not a dream. This was real life.
It is normal to have a nightmare after that.
Okay. So anyway, what you were describing with your wife, that she actually did get sick,
did get sick.
I see. This was not a dream, and this caused nightmares in your life.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you to the point of. I brought her in 3 different times, but she's a healthy old person. We're both over 60. I say that with all due respect if she's listening. But my thought is she had no evidence of pneumonia on a chest X-ray. She had rales, and she said, I don't know how much more of this I can take. I just don't think I can live through this. That gives me the nightmares, and I lost a coach. We lost Coach DeMarco here in Iowa City, beloved. My basketball coach from Indiana, that's next to the Bible. He is my dad's neighbor, and he died at dad's retirement home. We've all lost relatives, friends, family, and when it comes to us, it becomes nightmarish, if you will. It is normal for people under stress to take those daytime stress and relate them into bad dreams and or nightmares, as evidenced by post-traumatic stress disorder at the far end for our young people that are battling in Afghanistan and in protesting and this and that. All the horrors that can occur in society, they can turn into nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Join us with your sleep-related question. It can have to do with COVID. Doesn't necessarily have to do. If you've heard Dr. Daikin on our program, he gives his views, not necessarily a diagnosis, of course, so you'll be directed to your primary care physician for that. But he'll give us the thoughts on your specific sleep-related question, whether it's bad sleep or perhaps you found a remedy for some bad sleep that has worked for you. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Is there some general advice you can give to someone who's been getting especially bad sleep, insomnia since the start of this pandemic, feels that anxiety, Dr. Daikin?
It's such a big topic that the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, highlights sleep and their management during this time of the COVID virus. So they say avoid excessive exposure to the media coverage of COVID-19. And I'll tell you, I've been watching a lot of cartoons, lady. It is, you know, the news is just so tough to handle, and sometimes it's get back to the basic with the kids. Family, well, Hamilton was a fun thing to watch, but it's sad too. But try to avoid being confronted with the anxiety if you can. Keep healthy, relax, deep breathing exercise, stretching, meditating, good diet, good exercise, avoiding alcohol and drugs. Other things the CDC recommends, do activities that you enjoy. If the kids are around, live vicariously through your kids. Go out on the walk. Be out there in the sun. Ride a bike. Connect with others. The phone, the Skype, the Zoom, the FaceTime. I'm meeting with Dad every Wednesday from Indianapolis. We all the 6 kids are Zoom timing with Dad. Maintain hope, positive attitude. And then, you know, simplistic, the CDC is saying this, practice kindness. I mean, that's almost biblical kind of a thing. It's what you do to your brothers and sisters. And if necessary, anxiety can kill. Depression can kill. Call your primary care physician, your APP, your ARNP, your PA. Who takes care of you if you need that help? sometimes we may actually need something more than just the recommendations from the CDC. But again, try to keep normalcy, routine bedtime, routine awakening time. And at night, as you're at home, we're all in front of the screen. There's a blue light that's emitted from these screens on our texting, our cell phones, our computers. It decreases melatonin, which generally goes up at night and makes us sleepy. So they're also recommending pick a bedtime, and an hour before that bedtime, stop all electronics. Calm down, read a boring book. I do that every night. I'm reading Slowhand, Eric Clapton right now. That gets me really bored. Anyway, and then, you know, something that you like that settles you down and keep that bedroom environment for sleep.
Okay, maybe the very first pages of Moby Dick. I think that's in that category as well.
Or, yeah, or Les Miserables.
All right. 1-866-780-9100, talking about how COVID has sabotaged our sleep. If that speaks to you, if you have an instance, an anecdote, or a current problem you'd like to share with our neurologist and sleep disorders specialist, Dr. Eric Daikin, join our conversation. 1-866-780-9100. Email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Let's go to our first caller. Kathy is with us in Davenport. Kathy, welcome to our program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. What is your sleep problem that you'd like to share?
I'm calling regarding what I call anxiety dreams. They are not consistently the same, but they're always involving things that create great anxiety. I've lost something. I can't find something. I had my first COVID-related one the other night that had to do with I was somewhere out in public and realized I didn't have my mask on. And then it's just followed by lots of anxiety trying to figure out how to solve whatever the issue is. These started after my husband and I were in a very traumatic accident, and they started after that about 4 years ago, and I have them very regularly, probably 3 to 4 times a week.
Mm. Dr. Daikin, what can you tell Kathy there in this case?
And this is what the experts are recommending about the COVID-related and the other related anxiety-related dreams that you've been talking about. They call it a dream and mastery techniques. So they know that peace of mind leads to a positive dream effect. When you're under stress and pressure and you don't have a method to look at the positive things, there's a negative dream effect. It's a domino effect. The worse you feel, the worse it gets. So what they talk about with this dream mastery technique is to script your dreams. I mean, it might sound silly, but to take that dream that has been bothering you, that has that theme, and then write it down, and write it down the way you want it to result. So write it, have a great happy ending, and rehearse it at least 2 or 3 times, and do that routinely. And the experts in sleep dream analysis, which I'm not really, so I'm playing off the shoulder of giants here, they believe that over a period of time, this can lead to mastery of the dream and a positive outcome. Rosalind Cartwright, who is now an emeritus from University of Chicago, she's a great expert at this, and she would take a bad dream, like during a divorce, and she would have you do this kind of dream mastery technique. See how it works. Even if it sounds silly, write it down, have that positive outcome, and practice it.
Kathy, what does that sound like to you? Sound like something you can try?
Absolutely. I'm willing to try anything.
Right. And it sounds, Dr. Daikin, like it could be related to practices I've heard related to lucid dreaming, where you are, at the same time you are in some kind of dream state, also aware that you are dreaming and can, if you practice it well, actually shape your dream somehow consciously?
Yeah, you've become really smart over the years, I'll tell you. That's essentially what this is. you can be trained, and at Stanford, the greatest sleep labs in the world, and Dr. Kishida is presently the director, and Bill Demet used to be there, they can teach you how to lucid dream. Some people can just do it and have control of their dreams, but this is a way of teaching oneself lucid or control of your dream.
Okay, very good. Kathy, we hope Dr. Daikin gave you some hints to go on there. We wish you better sleep in the future.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Good luck.
If you'd like to join us, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Looking especially for sleeping problems having to do with our COVID pandemic, which has we've been living at least 4 months here in the Midwest of the U.S., and it looks to be continuing on in the foreseeable future. 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. Let's go to Lisa. Lisa is joining us from Cedar Rapids. Welcome to you, Lisa.
Thanks. I got a quick question. I have a couple kids at home, and their sleep schedules have really been messed up, and they're struggling with falling asleep and staying asleep. And one of my friends recommended to give melatonin at night for the kids. So I was wondering sort of what are the long-term effects of that, if any, and does it work?
Mm. Okay. Well, thank you, Lisa.
What you would want to do, a general adage of all sleep experts, is to avoid drug, to avoid medicine. But, you know, we like melatonin in some specific cases because it mimics, in a homeopathic way, if you will, what the body naturally does. What we would do before melatonin, although we have used melatonin, especially on blind children who don't have a retina, or on people who have had, and it's especially on blindness, where they're not able to take advantage of the effects of the bright sunlight that impairs melatonin release, and the darkness of night, that difference allows melatonin to rise, or brain-injured children who don't have that mechanism in the brain intact. Melatonin up to 10 milligrams in some of the studies that my wife had published many years ago on blind and brain-injured children, which is a lot more than you get at Hy-Vee. I think you can get the 2.5, the 5 milligrams, but 10 milligrams really made a difference in these children. But prior to doing that, you need to try to establish a routine bedtime and a routine awakening time. Bedtime is really tough to do because you get anxious at night sometimes. But an awakening time, if you have the 5,000-pound gorilla, that can be mom and dad, the automatic alarm clock, you wake them up when they need to wake up. And you do that 3 days in a row, and if it's too early for them, sort of, they're going to get sleepy and fall asleep at night. So routine bedtime, awakening time, exercise, outside, in the late morning, early afternoon, the effect of the sun is almost 50,000 lux. That's the degree of illuminance. So we have these little bright lights that we often treat people who have problems with their circadian or 24-hour cycle. That only has 5 to 10,000 lux. Nothing better than being out there in the sunlight, and low-level exercise, increasing your core body temperature, will increase deep delta sleep, which many people think is the more sedating, the more refreshing stage of sleep. Don't nap during the day. If you nap during the day, you'll reduce your sleep drive at night. And again, what do the kids do? What do? I'm in front of the screen all the time because that's how I work. There's a blue light emitted from that. Avoid, prior to bedtime, about an hour, all electronics. And some electronics, you can get an app or certain setups where it will reduce that blue light exposure that tends to keep you up. And then bedtime, give your kids a story. Oh, I got to tell you, I've read thousands of books. And at the end of every one of those books, and like Go Dog Go and The Cat in the Hat, I put a little mark in the date I read it with my kids. Mm-hmm. Make the sleep environment inviting, something to excite, and then sedate. Nothing more boring than at the end of a Go Dog Go.
Lisa in Cedar Rapids, thanks for your question. I hope your children are sleeping better. Let's, before the break, get in Karen from Ames. Karen, you also have kids who are getting some kind of crummy sleep due to, do you think it's due to the COVID pandemic?
Hi. I think it's part of it. They also do have anxiety. And we have tried a lot of things that the good doctor was talking about, having a schedule and, you know, sedating them with books and so on. And we've even had to go the medicine route. Well, my question is there anything natural with not too many side effects, hopefully, or no side effects, preferably, that we can use on kids or, you know, preteens?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's an interesting thing. So philosophically, like we say, and people are calling in because the problems are persisting despite the common sense things that sleep experts know, and that's why people call in. But across the board, for the blind children, for the brain-injured children, my wife did a lot of work on this because she's a pediatric sleep expert. These are relatively sleep medications, but the bioavailability, and a good buddy of ours had looked at the different forms of melatonin in the United States. In the United States, melatonin is a food additive. In Canada, it's a restricted research drug. So depending on where you are, so it's just over the counter in the United States. And in some forms of the melatonin that my buddy looked at, there was 0% melatonin in there. Mm. And in some forms, some packaging, there was 10 times the physiological dose. So we don't think there's a lot of bad side effects, but impotence in adults, it potentially, and this is hearsay, this is not research, but they were doing sleep studies on children with melatonin, and one mother had mentioned, my daughter's starting to smell like her big brother who was a teenager. Then this caught on like wildfire. They thought we were bringing on early adolescence with melatonin. I don't think that's the case. But when you take any sleep-inducing medicine, you do not want the house to burn down that night because you might not wake up. So it is a drug. It is a hormone. But of the medicines, and in the elderly, the same thing, you can have a contrary response to relatively common medicines. Melatonin is a bit safer if there's a drug that's okay. You're going to be considering. But I would run it by your primary care physician, your APP, your ARNP, your PAC, someone who knows, and then use it as you need it, but not on a routine nightly, psychologically habit-based format.
Okay, Dr. Daikin, we'll be back in just a moment. Karen, thanks for your call from Ames. It's River to River. Our sleep specialist, Dr. Eric Daikin, is with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more of how to get a good night's sleep. And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Why do self-described evangelical Christians overwhelmingly support Donald Trump? Over 80% did so in our last election. Tomorrow, my guest is historian Kristen Cobus-Dumais, a scholar who focuses on the intersection of gender, religion, and politics. Her latest book is titled Jesus and John Wayne. She'll talk about the shifting ideal of Christian manhood tomorrow on this program. Today, we have our sleep expert, Dr. Eric Daikin. He's currently director of the Iowa City Veterans Administration Hospital Sleep Laboratory, former director of the University of Iowa Sleep Disorders Center and Sleep Medicine Fellowship Program. We're catching your questions, putting them to Dr. Daikin. And as Dr. Daikin likes to remind all of our listeners who call, make sure that you get in touch with your primary care physician. This is no substitute for that, and Dr. Daikin has a lot of fascinating sleep research, but your primary care physician is really a place to go to get a tailored look at your sleep problem. Before we get back to callers, Dr. Daikin, we do have a number of callers, a number of emailers as well with their questions, but I wanted to address Dr. William Dement. Back in June, last month, Dr. Dement, a leader in sleep disorders research, died at the age of 91, called the father of sleep medicine. Tell us a little bit about his background and how he created the world's first successful sleep clinic and taught us so much and led this field in sleep and dreams.
Yeah, back in the late 50s, he and Dr. Ashkenazi and a lot of these other hot shots of sleep medicine, real rock stars, the University of Chicago found this association between narcolepsy, which is a disorder of really bad sleepiness, and REM, rapid eye movement, dreaming, or paralyzed sleep. You know, these people would start to laugh and then all of a sudden crumple to the ground, completely paralyzed. That's called cataplexy. And he associated those two things together. And actually, he went to Canada to get a narcoleptic dog to breed those dogs at Stanford Sleep Labs. And they were in a bad storm, a thunderstorm. He had told me this story because we did the same thing, sending them off to Luther College about 26 years ago during a visit. And he thought the plane was going down. And he went to the back cargo hold and got this dog, brought it up to his seat, put it between his legs, and he said, I know it was silly, but if we were going to go down, I was going to try that jump at the end to see if I could save me and the dog. Well, it didn't go down, but he brought back the first narcoleptic dog, and they bred those dogs to find out the cause of narcolepsy in those dogs and then subsequently the cause of narcolepsy in humans. And a lot of fantastic things he did. And 26 years ago, when the National Heart, Lung, Blood Institute was trying to raise money for sleep research through Bill Dement, he was a good friend, and we had done an early study on stroke and apnea, and we had him come here to give a lecture. And he interviewed a very famous family of a sleepwalker, Jared Allgood, who actually was killed in a sleepwalking event. And we've had Mrs. Allgood on this show.
Yes, we have.
She did a call-in, and she's been on Maury Povich, Unsolved Mysteries, Oprah Winfrey. And we actually gave her the Nine Who Care Award many years ago. And he came to Iowa because Senator Harkin was, you know, had written that book, American with Disabilities Act, in 1990. And we had done some work in. It was a great place for him to come, and we're very proud of that. Iowa was a great place to speak the word of sleep medicine. So he became a good friend. And a few years back, we gave a lecture near Louisville, Kentucky, at the Indiana Sleep Institute Third Annual Sleep Symposium. Now, I didn't introduce him to my daughter. She wanted to come and hear that lecture to see the great Dr. Dement as the father of sleep medicine. I introduced him, I swear to God, as the Mick Jagger of sleep medicine, and he loved that. just a fantastic, funny, wonderful, humanistic, smart. You know, those kind of people don't come around that often. They're not only great scientists, but great people that are just beloved.
Mm-hmm. Rest in peace. Dr. Bill Dement, a leader in sleep disorder research, died last month at the age of 91. Let's get back to some of our listeners' questions for you. Dr. Daikin, this is an email from someone who would prefer to remain anonymous. I'll just read it. I've started having night terrors where I scream in my sleep until my partner wakes me up. The first dream made a lot of sense. I dreamt I was being pepper sprayed during a protest. And according to my partner, I was screaming the word no. Since then, I've had two more dreams where I've screamed until being woken up, but I don't remember what was happening in them. I'd like any insight on why this may be happening and how to end it. If you've had night terrors, repeated night terrors, there is no wondering why you want them to end. Dr. Daikin, this sounds like it may be this was a person perhaps somehow involved in the protests, the weeks of protests we had before, or perhaps just taking in too much media about it.
you know, Ben, pretty soon you're going to be able to start the clinic. and in fact, so a sleep terror, actually, you wouldn't have a dream recall, but she has a dream element recall, which is more like a nightmare, like what we've talked about. Instead of a post-COVID dream, there are a lot of stresses going on with the inequalities across the world that people want so desperately to speak out against and to end. And the best way they can is often getting out and going public. And when you go out public, you often take your life in your own hands. And people have been run into by cars, shot at, and pepper sprayed. And I would think you're very astute in that regard, that this is maybe that kind of a dream. And as such, I would recommend exactly what the people are recommending for the COVID-related dream mastery technique. Script that dream. Take the dream that bothers you the most and write out the way you want it to resolve, that you're in the protest, that the politicians listen, that the rest of the world listens, and brothers and sisters all come together with one big happy family for the rest of eternity. Nothing wrong with that. John Lennon thought it was a good idea. Write out that, rehearse it, and see if it works. If it doesn't, if it continues, the post-traumatic stress disorder that our young people from Afghanistan live with is a life-threatening problem. Talk to your PCP about other therapeutic interventions that a good healthcare professional might be able to afford. Even the mothers who have talked about their kids who have tried the common sense things, sometimes you need to refer to the PCP and get the full history, the full examination, and make sure we're not missing something.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Dykin, since you're director of the Iowa City Veterans Administration Hospital Sleep Laboratory and obviously work with veterans, does that rescripting, writing out the way you want your dream to end, is that employed in your work with veterans perhaps suffering from PTSD?
Well, there are certain medications, and then they follow strongly with the psychologists because this is a common thing. You know, it's interesting, you and I have talked about the use of CPAP and oral devices and apneics. So patients with post-traumatic stress disorder can have apnea. They cannot wear a mask because they have to go through wearing these gas masks and things that bring back bad memories, just difficult to deal with. So number one, at the VA, the psychologist needs to be there and adept. And there are certain medications that work very, very well with post-traumatic stress disorder. But all these imaging, dream imagings, are very valid and important techniques. And yes, they're all used in combination by experts.
Dr. Eric Dykin is with us, neurologist, sleep disorders expert, currently director of the Iowa City Veterans Administration Hospital Sleep Laboratory. We have Dr. Dykin with us for another 10 minutes. Let's try to get in some more input from our listeners. This is an email writing, not COVID-related, but I've recently discovered that I mouth breathe while sleeping. Could this be related to fatigue during the day? How does mouth breathing, the emailer writes, versus nose breathing at night affect your overall sleep?
Well, that's interesting. Most adults breathe through their nose when they go to sleep. Now, there's somebody I know that uses an oral device for apnea, and I now use the oral device for apnea, and I have to breathe through my nose to make this thing work well. And if my nose is full of snot and I got a bad cold, I'm going to have to breathe through my mouth. You know, you're going to have to be able to breathe around that. So that's an unusual situation. So it could be that this individual has a problem with nasal obstruction. But they imply they haven't always had it because now they're noticing they're a mouth breather. First thing I would think is rule out sleep apnea. When I first had the diagnosis of sleep apnea, I would open any orifice I had to get air in. And I was breathing out my nose, out my mouth, because the airway would close, and then you gasp. and your mouth comes open, and it gets dried out, early morning dry mouth in association with maybe a headache and daytime sleepiness and loud snoring at night and multiple arousals with or without gasping. All these signs and symptoms make me worry about apnea, and the reason I worry about it is maybe up to 4 to 5% of all women and up to 19% of all men between 30 and 60 might have obstructive sleep apnea, and low oxygen's bad for you. We lost Andre the Giant, Jerry Garcia, Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher, Reggie White, so many people, my cousin, my uncle, probably from sleep apnea, and it's something is preventable. I would first talk to your primary care physician, ACP, ARNP, PAC, and have them do the full history and physical and talk to you about the other signs and symptoms of obstructive sleep apnea, especially if you've gone from nasal to oral breathing.
Okay, we hope that helps our emailer. Thank you so much for that email. And let's go back to our phones. Perhaps time for one or two more callers. 1-866-780-9100. Dr. Eric Daikin, neurologist, sleep disorders expert, with us for a few more minutes. 1-866-780-9100. Heidi is with us from LeClaire. Hi, Heidi. Welcome to our program.
Yes, I have a dream that is related to COVID. It was a dream that animated the COVID virus in a way that would likely terrify people. Mm. But the strange thing is that during the dream, I wasn't terrified. I was just nervous. And what it was, the virus itself was crawling around in my bed, and it, kind of like a spider, and I was banging it with a lead pipe. I'm not a violent person usually, but I was trying to kill it. And the next scene, it was in a sink, and I was trying to jam it down the drain, and it was blowing up like a bubble gum, like a pink bubble gum. Mm. And then the dream ended. But the lesson that I learned that I've applied since then is before I go to sleep, I tell myself that whatever I'm going to dream, I'm going to be in control of it. I'm going to be able to deal with it, and that most likely it's a dream. So I tell myself before I go to sleep that if I have a nightmare or another COVID-related dream, it's a dream, and I can have it come out well in the end.
Wow. Dr. Daikin, it sounds like Heidi has taken your advice on board in a big way and with great success.
Patient heal thyself, a rose by any other name, but that sounds like dream mastery technique to me. So God bless you. That is smart, that was very invaluable to hear it actually work out in practice.
Okay, Heidi in LeClaire, thank you so much for calling 1-866-780-9100. I wonder, Dr. Daikin, you do so much research and involved in many ways in research in sleep disorders. How has, with sleep clinics, how has sleep research been impacted by COVID in your area?
Well, actually, it was, it's been just blowing up in regard to the dream analysis, the anxiety that we've been primarily talking about today. People are empathetic, they know, and they're calling about that right now. But in sleep apnea, we're a bit of a outpatient. You know, we're the people who are dying from not breathing go to the ICU. But we're an outpatient practice, so shop closed down for a few months. People couldn't get in to be seen because we often use CPAP, that mask that generates a column of air to keep the airways open, and it also tends to generate molecules of fomites and the virus a bit. So we had to shut down things for quite a while, but at the VA we're now using disposable home diagnostic kits so we can provide them with the patient, mail them out to the patient. The patient can wear these diagnostic tests for sleep apnea, and they can then mail them back in, bring them back in, and we can read them from afar so they don't even have to be in the hospital. And then we can put them on what we call AutoPAP, set them up with a machine that will adjust to their apnea so that they can avoid being in the laboratory environment itself. So lemonade out of lemons in some regard. So it's terrible that people are dying. It's terrible why my wife was sick. It's a terrible thing to see and live through, but good people are looking at good ways to adapt, and I think humankind is mostly good people, and I think we're really making lemonade out of lemons.
Mm. Dr. Daikin, one of our listeners named David writes this email. My wife says my legs twitch all night and have for years. I didn't know this was happening until I was married. It doesn't affect my sleep to my knowledge. Is there any cause for concern? David.
Well, in fact, so there's a thing called periodic limb movements in sleep. And they used to call it nocturnal nighttime myoclonus, jerking of your legs. You know, so a lot of people do it. And over the age of 45, I think 64% of us do it anyway. It often is associated with restless leg syndrome, but it can occur all by itself. Just this periodic jerking of your legs. It's usually the first through the night. And it's relatively benign. There's a lot of theories about periodic limb movements that we could go on and on about. But if it bothers your wife to the point that she leaves the room, then that's an environmental insomnia. I like my wife in the room when I go to sleep. And we have had to treat people. And there are medications you can treat patients with. But if you can avoid medicines, if it's not really bothering your wife and it's not bothering you, yeah, I think it's relatively benign, probably periodic limb movements in sleep.
Mm-hmm. As we wind up here, we were talking earlier about the great sleep researcher, Dr. William Dement, someone you worked very closely with for many years, died last month at the age of 91. And you mentioned his career starting in the 40s, the 50s. In that period of time, over those many decades, I have to believe that the area of sleep medicine, sleep disorders research, just made quantum leaps in understanding and busting some myths of sleep. So we have come pretty far, haven't we, Dr. Daikin?
Yeah, you know, in the Chinese Book of Dreams, which was published like 500 before the Common Era, it was a lot of myth about sleep, but with the advent of the polysomnogram, the sleep study machine, where we combine monitoring the brain waves, the eye movements, and the muscle tone from the 50s, the 30s, when we first got EEG, EMG, muscle tone, it just exploded because you can't give a history for the most part when you're sound asleep. And you don't tell people, well, I think I have a severe degree of sleep apnea or I'm having periodic limb movements. Sometimes seeing is believing. And when we got that tool, that polysomnogram, we were able to see, believe, and then really it just exploded into great therapeutic advantage that Dr. Dement and Dr. Guillemot and a lot of the people from Stanford and all around the world have really led to saving lives.
Mm-hmm. We know that without sleep over an extended period, we, as other mammals, will die.
Eric Stoffman showed that many years ago.
Right. But as we wind up this hour and we have about a minute left, we don't know that central question for sure. We have theories as to why we have to sleep. Do we know for sure?
Well, there's a lot of thought, and there are a lot of things that imply restoration, that there has to be a time for rest. And there are a lot of things that are rejuvenated and a lot of negative things that build up during the day as metabolic wastes. So we know that when we sleep, we take care of a lot of those metabolic wastes. And it's one of the thoughts about dementia. In sleep, more spinal fluid is flowing into certain brain areas that are associated with cognition, and they may flush out the proteins that may lead to dementias like Alzheimer's, etc. So it's maintaining the machine, a resting time, and that's one of the theories why sleep is so important.
Mm-hmm. And also, when I contemplate not having sleep, it just exhausts me, Dr. Daikin.
Yeah, I love it. A delicious nap.
Don't you? Isn't that one of the better things in life, especially as you get older? Well put, by the way, a delicious nap. That's exactly the way I think of it. Dr. Eric Dyken, it's been a pleasure to have you on. We've run out of time. Catching up on our sleep research and news with neurologist Dr. Eric Dyken, director of the Iowa City Veterans Administration Sleep Laboratory. We wish you all the best in reality and in dreams, Dr. Dyken. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
River to River is produced by Caitlin Harrop, Rick Brewer, and Matt Alvarez, with help from Nina Elkady. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.